to stop them. He went willfully when they arrested him, and he purposefully laid down his life for us. He did it on purpose. This wasn't an accident. So he went through all of this as a lamb, okay? And many have said this. Many have said he died as a lamb, but he arose as a lion. Yeah, I've said that many times before. But today, I would now say he didn't wait until he rose from the grave to come as the lion. Let me say it this way. He didn't wait until he rose from the grave to roar. You know that, right? Let me show you a few things. Because I believe that the moment that he took his last breath on the cross, the Lion of Judah began to roar. The very moment that he took his last breath. Because remember, what were his last words? It is finished. Right? The lamb had spoken his last words, and now the lion was going to have his say. And so, what happened? Well, we know that the moment he took his last breath, that the veil in the temple that served as a separation between God and his people was split or torn in two from top to bottom. No longer would there be separation between God and his people, because the lamb had taken his final breath, but the lion was roaring. So the veil was torn. And then we know the very moment he took his last breath that the earth shook and rocks split in two. And we're not talking about just little rocks. I've seen these rocks in Israel. In fact, they still have some that are there today in that very place that they say but miraculously split down the middle in two. You'll see them. They're amazing. These huge boulders that are just split right down the center. And I don't mean a crack. I mean they're separated. And they say that some supernatural event had to cause that to happen. And then we know that that very moment that he took his last breath, that the tombs of many godly men and women had burst open, and those they came to life, they were resurrected, and they were walking out of the cemetery around in Jerusalem that very moment. Okay? I'm talking about the Lion of Judah is roaring right now. And then we also know that the Roman officer and some of the Roman soldiers that were around the cross, they saw this happening, and immediately we know that everything, you know, got dark and all of this started happening. And that Roman officer overseeing the execution saw this and saw what happened and heard everything and felt the earthquake. And this is what he said. He said, "Surely this man was innocent." And he proclaimed that he was the Son of God. Oh, come on, y'all. Are you hearing what's happening right here? He hadn't gotten up from the grave yet. But right there on that spot, this is what I say. Well, because the Bible says, if you believe that he is the Son of God and declare that God raised him from the dead on the third day, you shall be saved. I believe that Roman soldier at that moment gave his heart to the Lord. Right? He's making a declaration. So the lion's roaring. And then we know this. We know the moment that Jesus took his last breath, he claimed the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He took them. So the Lion of Judah didn't wait until he rose from the grave. He started roaring right away. So if you're looking for a warrior, a king, a hero, a lion, one who will run to your rescue, a source of strength and victory, a brother in arms, Jesus is the one. Amen. He's the only one. He is the only one. There is no other source. There is no other way. Will you look at somebody today and say, there's no other way? Jesus is the only way. Jesus. Amen? So let's begin. Let's begin with four important scriptures. You ready? Let's go to Revelation 5:5. Revelation 5:5. It says, "But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then go to Genesis 49:10. Genesis 49:10. This is what it says. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one, Shiloh, the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. Who's the one? Jesus. Okay? So the scepter, this is important for you to understand. You're going to see it in just a few moments. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants. Say descendants. Okay? Descendants. Until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. Okay? Just so you know, the Hebrew meaning of Judah is praise. Praise. All right? You need to know that. So Hebrews, go to Hebrews 13, verse 14. Hebrews 13, 14. Everybody get there. So it says this. It says, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of, say it, praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. A continual sacrifice of Judah to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Judges chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Go there real quick. It says this, it says, after the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, which tribe should go first to attack the Canaanites? Now this is very important, watch this. The Lord answered, Judah, for I have given them victory over the land. Judah. It's important for us to understand what's really taking place here in Judges chapter 1, okay? You need to understand what's taking place, because you read a scripture like that and you go, what does that mean? Well, you need to know what's taking place to understand what God is saying here. And here's what's happening. The Canaanites at that time worshiped a false god they called Baal. Okay? Baal worship consisted of agricultural and sexual forms of worship. This form of worship is an attempt by Satan to steal the glory that rightfully belongs to Yahweh for creation. You get that? Satan is attempting to steal the glory that belongs to Yahweh for creation. Okay? And all the while doing this, he's trying to defile the body through acts of sexual vulgarity. So this is what happens in Baal worship. Baal worship has gone back thousands of years, all right? But it still happens today. We just don't call it that. It's not called that. People don't refer to it at that. But I'm telling you right now, it's happening at an alarming rate in our country. It is. We just don't call it that. It's happening all over the place. We just don't call it that. All right? So let me make it clear to you that any and every form of worship or religion that does not glorify God the Father, Yahweh, through the way of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is a false religion, and Satan is behind every one of them. Amen. And this includes refusal to praise Yahweh. Refusal to praise Yahweh is a form of false worship, okay? Because I'm telling you right now, you're going to praise something or someone. You're going to give glory to something or someone, all right? So many Christians have engaged in worship that is not glorifying to God, whether it's songs that are horizontal in nature and not vertical. Well, what does that mean? Songs that are horizontal are songs that we can, and we've done it over the years in the church, and we've done it. I've been a part of it in churches before, and, you know, we'll sing songs that are about us, you know. And we'll sing, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with singing songs like that are about us, but worship songs should be songs that are about him. They should be to him. So instead of singing horizontal songs that are about us, we should sing vertical songs that are about him and to him, to bring glory to him, to praise him. Coming together to worship is about praising God, right? And so when we're doing that, we're singing songs that are, we should be singing songs that are vertical. And I'm not going to name horizontal songs. You can probably think of some. Okay, I'll name some old ones. I'll name some really old ones. Okay, when I was a kid. How about that? Really old ones. You know, songs that are like, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Right? That's a great song. How many of you know that song? It's a great song. But that song's about us. When we see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Yes, we will. And that's awesome, right? But that's talking about us. And so, and I'm not saying it's a bad song. I'm just saying we have to be careful that our songs and our worship is vertical. It's about him and it's to him, right? Because then we can get down the road in all kinds of songs that are, and I'm not going to name some, okay? I'm just not. It's not about criticism. It's about us seeing what the Lord's trying to say to us here and through Scripture, all right? So what happens is then that leads to something else and something else and something else, and then all of a sudden our worship leaders are performing for an audience of admirers instead of worshiping the Lord God. Right? That's not what's supposed to happen. This is not a stage for performance. This is a platform for worship. Okay? And so, I've seen it happen. I've seen worship leaders that'll start mixing worldly things with what their songs, spiritual songs they're singing. They'll start mixing worldly lyrics. And they'll start adding stuff like that into their performance. I've seen it before, and it's really upset me, and I've, as a pastor, I've had to do things about it before. I've seen people come off the platform, and they would even call it a stage, and come off, and people would just fawn after them. Oh, you're so amazing. Oh, you know, and all this. And it would be upsetting to me. I'm like, don't do that. Don't praise them. It's okay to give honor to whom honor is due, right? It's okay to say, hey, man, you're talented, you're gifted, you're anointed. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? But when it becomes almost like a rock star status, then we have to be careful. Who are we giving praise to? Right? And so this kind of stuff can happen, and this kind of worship is just as bad as worshiping Baal. Why? Because it's an attempt from the enemy to steal glory from Yahweh. All right? So I know this sounds hard, but it's going to get better, okay? Everybody just smile at me. It's going to get better. But it's truth. It's truth. And I'm going to show it to you in the Scriptures, okay? And I just want to give you a side note real quick before I move into that. This worship team, our worship team here at the River, is up here to lead you in worship of Yahweh. Okay? That's what they're here to do. They're here to lead you to worship Yahweh. They're not here to entertain you. Okay? They're not here to entertain you. Back when the Levites would lead the Israelites, and this is where we get worship leaders from, right? Yes? Okay. So back when they would lead the Israelites, they would walk in front of them. They would go in front of them. And so that's why they're here in front of you. They're leading you. It would be more appropriate, I think, but I don't know that I'm going to change this, but it'd be more appropriate if the whole worship team did this. And if you watch Scott pretty much is facing this way half the time anyway when he's worshiping, you know. So he's already fulfilling that Levite thing. But it'd be more appropriate if they're doing this because they're leading you in worship, right? But they would do that. Like when they walked around Jericho, the Levites led the way. Yes? And so that's really what worship is about. So our worship team is here to lead you. They're not performing for you. They're not here to show off their talent for you. This is not American Idol or The Voice. Okay? This is them leading you to worship the Lord. All right? And when they sing and when they play, it's for the Lord God Almighty. It's not for you or for me. All right? So the moment this becomes about anything other than glorifying Yahweh, it becomes false worship. You see that? And we have to be really careful with that, That we understand that not just here in this building, but in our own personal lives, we have to be careful of that, to understand that anything that we glorify higher than the Lord or more than the Lord is false worship. Okay? So let me show you some things. In the book of Daniel, we read about four Hebrew men who were taken captive by the Babylonians, and these four men refused to praise anything or anyone but Yahweh. All right? Look at Daniel chapter 1, real quick. Daniel 1, verses 6 and 7. Here's what it says. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of, say it, Judah. Okay, the chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. So Daniel was called Belteshazzar, or Belshazzar, okay? Hananiah was Shadrach, Mishael was Meshach, and Azariah was Abednego. All right? So that was the names that they had renamed them, but their original names are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I said to Kim the other day, as I was, you know, putting some of this together, I said, isn't it interesting that, you know, we call Daniel Daniel, but we call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by their, you know, Babylonian given name? We don't, you know? Why don't we call them, you know, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? That's probably what we should do, right? It's interesting to me. But anyway, that's just a side note. That's just the way my brain works. But these four men were chosen by King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the Babylonian king, which, by the way, worshiped the same false god, Baal. Okay? And he was chosen, these men were chosen to enter royal service of him. So Daniel was elevated to the high position on the king's court because he interpreted a dream that for the king that no one else could interpret. So the interesting thing about this dream, listen, this dream was all about the Lion of Judah and how he would come and establish his kingdom here on this earth. And all authority and power would be given to him over all the kingdoms of the earth. Okay? So that's what this dream is about that Daniel interprets for King Nebuchadnezzar. So here's the dream in a nutshell. Here's what it said. In your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge shining statue of a man, and it was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold, and the chest and arms were made of silver, and its belly and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. As you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain, not by human hands, and it struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits, okay? So that was basically the dream in a nutshell. And then in Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, look there with me, and we can see the explanation or interpretation of that dream. And here's what it said. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set upon a kingdom that will never be destroyed, upon earth a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all the kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain, though not by human hands, that crushed to pieces the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain. So this is the explanation that Daniel gave. Now, I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, it says this, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7, watch, "His government and its peace will never end." See that? "His rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity, and the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen." Now, one more scripture. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Watch. "Now, after John was arrested," this is John the Baptist, "after he was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying," here we go, Jesus is saying, "the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel," which is the good news. So the time is at hand. The kingdom that Daniel interpreted the dream about, the kingdom that was written in Isaiah, has come. And it's time, it will never end. It's come and it will never end. Then later on, King Nebuchadnezzar decided to have a gold statue made. So this dream was given, okay? Daniel interpreted it, and then later on, Nebuchadnezzar decides, I'm going to build a gold statue. So he builds a gold statue, and he made it 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and then he commanded that everyone bow down and worship that statue. Now, y'all think you know this story, right? You know where I'm going and all that. No, watch. Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Then a herald shouted, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow down to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now let me just stop and show you two things. First of all, you got to notice when you hear the instruments. Did you see that? When you hear the instruments, then it named all these instruments. When you hear the instruments, this was once again an attempt from Satan to steal praise that rightfully belonged to Yahweh. He created worship. He created music. He created those things, right? He gave men the ability to create the instruments that were played to worship. And so here we have, when you hear these instruments, when you hear the praise music start to begin, when you hear the worship music start to begin, it's time to get your coffee and get into the auditorium. Right? When you hear the worship, when you hear the praise music, bow down and worship this gold statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then the second thing that it said in that scripture, that I don't know if you caught this, but it said every race, every nation, every language. So everyone on earth, when you hear the music, bow down and worship this statue. Now remember Genesis 49:10 that I read at the very beginning. I'm going to bring this back into it. Watch. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one, Jesus, to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. You see that? So guess what? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were standing in the crowd that day, were from the tribe of Judah. And they knew what they held in their hand. They knew that they had the scepter in their hand, and they knew it wouldn't depart from them until the one came to fulfill it. So Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said, no, we're not going to bow down. We refuse to bow down to this false god, to this statue. They made a decision to sacrifice, to make a sacrifice of praise to Yahweh. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. It says this, the king said, Nebuchadnezzar said this to him. He said, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue. See, everybody bowed down that day when the music started playing except for these three men. And some tattletale ran to Nebuchadnezzar and said, there's three guys not bowing down to you. And he said, bring them here to me. And they brought them to him, and he says, I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Now, many of us at that point would have been like, okay. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said this. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, verse 16, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods, or worship the gold statue you have set up. Here these men are facing death in the furnace. In fact, think about this, and this is something you need to take. Lord speaking to you today personally. Remember we said, Lord, make it personal. You need to take this. Because the enemy will come after you when you make a decision to praise Yahweh no matter what. The enemy will come after you when you make a decision that Judah, praise, will go first in your life. That you refuse to worship anything or anyone but Jesus. The enemy will come after you. Satan will come after you. And unfortunately, he comes after us a lot of times in the form of through people. Right? Anybody been persecuted? Anybody been attacked? Anybody been talked bad about? Anybody, you know, those have been going through? Anybody? Anybody going through that right now? Anybody got family members who say you're crazy? You're fanatical? You're going to be attacked, okay? And we need to understand that that's going to happen. But when we make a decision to praise Yahweh no matter what, we can trust that he will see us through. It may not look like we thought it would look like. We might get there and go, oh man, this is about to happen to me. But, you know, and so instead of caving in and going, well, I'm just going to give in for this moment and then I'll go back to praising Yahweh after this. No, you stand your ground and you praise him and trust that he will see you through. But even if he doesn't, he's still Yahweh and I still will praise him and refuse to bow down to anything else. And there's nothing they can do to you to take away what God has placed inside of you. Because listen, what happened was the king told him, he's like, okay, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said this, the king said, okay, make that furnace 7 times hotter. So they went and made it 7 times hotter, didn't they? What happened to the men that made it 7 times hotter? They died. What happened to the men that threw them in the furnace? They died. I'm telling you today, when the enemy comes after you, the very fire that he created to consume you will consume him, and you will stand there. You will stand there in the presence of Yahweh, and he will not let you down. The very fire that they heated up on you will consume them. And the Lord will see you through. But you got to stand and refuse to bow to the enemy. Refuse to bow. You need to stand and lift your voice and say, I praise Yahweh and him alone. Just like these men did. You know what sacrifice means? Sacrifice means an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. They said, it doesn't matter if we lose our lives. We gladly sacrifice them for Yahweh. You can take this body, but you cannot take this soul. This body's going to burn up anyway. This body's going to go back to the ground anyway. But this spirit's going to live for my king for eternity. And that's what they were saying to him. So the king had him thrown in the furnace. But when he looked inside, he not only saw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah walking around in the flames, but he saw another person in the fire that day. And let me say it to you this way, the Bible says, and he looked like the lion of the tribe of Judah. Because when you make a determination that Judah will go first, that this scepter will not depart from your hand because it's been given to you by the King of Kings, he will be there with you. And they weren't in there going, ooh, ah, he, ooh, this is hot. They weren't doing that. They were doing this. This is awesome. Look at this, man. Dude, can you believe this? Those guys died. I can't even feel the flames. And Jesus was walking around with them. Do you ever wonder what they were talking about? You know, it wasn't a quick thing, right? He didn't look in and go, hey, there's four guys, get them out of there. No. Like, I imagine they were in there for a while. Think about it this way. I'm sorry. I told you to come up way too early, but that's all right. Think about it this way. When they made the fire hotter, it killed them. When they threw them in, it killed them. So you know the king's like, okay, get them out of there. Well, you know there's nobody that's going to go, okay. I'll walk up there and get them out. Right? They had to let that thing cool down. Is it just me that thinks that way? I mean, aren't you? Right? I mean, what idiot would go, okay, let me go get them out. No. So it had to be a while. They're walking around in there, and I bet you they were talking about all kinds of good stuff. I bet you Jesus was saying, I'm proud of you. I know it was hard for you to stand. I know it was difficult for you to keep the stand going. I know that you thought, man, maybe this is the end. Maybe this is over. I believe Jesus was saying, I'm so proud of you. Look at you. I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. Listen, they came out of that fire without one hair being singed on their head. In fact, the Word of God says they didn't even smell like smoke. So it doesn't matter what the enemy does. If Judah goes first, the Lion of Judah will take care of us. Refusal to praise anything or anyone but God is just as much a part of our praise as anything else. It's not just about praising Him. It's about the refusal to praise anyone else or anything else. It's in giving Him preeminence, His praise preeminence in our lives, and making a statement that we trust Him and Him alone to save us. That's what makes a difference. So when Judah goes first, the scepter of authority is in place for ultimate victory. Let me give you real quick the symbolic meaning of a lion. Here's the symbolic meanings of a lion, okay? Strength, wisdom, power, royalty, dignity, courage, justice, ferocity, dominion, authority. How many of you want those things in your life? Huh? Then Judah must go first. The Lion of the tribe of Judah must lead the way. And if he does, you will have all of those things in your life. You don't think that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had all of those things? You know they did. And we apply the blood of the Lamb to our hearts. And when we do, just like when he took his last breath, when we apply the blood of the Lamb to our hearts, then the Lion of Judah begins to roar. He begins to roar. And God shakes the whole world. Shakes your whole world. Everywhere you go, if you let Judah go first, if you let the Lion of the tribe of Judah roar, rocks are splitting. You don't realize the power that you wield. You don't understand the authority that you have. Everywhere you go. You say, well, I didn't say a thing. It didn't matter. You don't have to say a thing. You just need to stand. Stand and refuse to bow down to the enemy. And when you do, things shake all around you. Y'all feel that? Yeah. Do you feel that today? Oh. Later on, okay, I'm finishing it up now. This is when you should have come, but I told you wrong, so this is on me, not her, okay? Later on, two kings later, King Darius ruled Babylon, and Daniel was the king's favorite high officer, okay? Now watch. But the king, Darius, signed a decree that all people had to worship him and him only for 30 days. And if anyone refused, they would be thrown into the den of lions. Now, the first thing I'm thinking is, like, dude, did you not hear what happened to Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Like, wasn't that written down somewhere? Shouldn't there have been a warning? Like, you know, warning to all future kings, don't mess with the tribe of Judah. Right? But apparently it wasn't. Apparently there was no warning, because this is what happened, and his high officers convinced him to do this. And so I want to say this to you before I go on and tell you the rest of this. Many people falter right here. I want you to see something here. Because what the king said was, you just need to bow down and worship me for 30 days. For the next 30 days, bow down and worship me and me alone, or you'll be thrown in the den of lions. Many people falter right there. Many people are like, you know, it's only 30 days. Okay? It's just 30 days. And after this, I'll go back to worshiping God. It's just 30 days. It's 30 days. You know, 30 days, that's not a big deal. After this, I'll go back to worshiping God. 30 days, it's just a short time, and then I'll go back to church. It's just a little while. I'm just doing something different for a little while, and then I'll go back to reading the Word of God. It's just a little while. I'm just doing this right now, but then I'm gonna start giving to the Lord again. I'm gonna start tithing again. But right now I need to take care of this over here. It's just a little while, and then I'll start praying again on a regular basis. But right now I got this, I gotta get up early, this job and this and that. And I don't have time. But for right now, I'm gonna do this, and then I'm gonna start praying again. Are you with me? Many people stumble right here. And the thing is they're stumbling over things that they're not facing death. We're not facing those things. But yeah, we stumble over these little things. If we're going to stumble over these little things, if we're going to not sacrifice and make a sacrifice of praise over these little things, what makes us think when real persecution comes, when real trial comes, we're going to be able to stand? See, I think the Lord's calling us to a place where we will stand no matter what. No matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what it looks like, we're going to stand. And if you can stand in the little things, you can stand when the real trial comes. And so this is what the king said to him, to all the people. Daniel 6:10. Watch. I'm going to read it from the Message version. It says this: when Daniel learned that the decree had been signed and posted, he continued to pray just as he has always done. His house windows in the upstairs that opened toward Jerusalem. He had house windows that opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he knelt there in prayer, thanking and praising God. When King Darius was informed that Daniel refused to stop praising and did not worship him, he had no choice but to throw him in the lion's den. But we know what happened, don't we? We all know what happened. He got thrown into the lion's den. But we know that while he was there that night, the lion of the tribe of Judah came and shut the mouths of those other lions. And I believe that Jesus, the Lion of Judah, spent the night with Daniel that night, just like he had with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the furnace, and walked around with them and talked with them and visited with them. I believe that night Daniel and Jesus had a good old time in that den. Those lions were just laying around like house cats. And Jesus and Daniel were visiting that night. But one of the chief, and we know that, but I want you to see this. I want you to, now do not miss this. One of the chief lessons we learn from this narrative is gleaned in the confession of King Darius himself. Watch. Daniel 6, 25 and 26. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Are y'all getting this now? Do you remember what we just talked about? Here's the message. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. Does that sound familiar to you? Because Daniel refused to bow. Because Daniel refused to stop worshiping and praising Yahweh. Because he refused, God was with him. And not only was God with him, but it had an impact. The Lion of Judah was roaring that night. Roaring. And the moment that Daniel was lifted out of that lion's den, King Darius, things were shaking. King Darius makes this decree to the entire world that the Lion of Judah's kingdom will never end. He didn't even know it. I don't believe King Darius knew it. I don't believe he understood it. But he was declaring the word of the Lord, a pagan king. Who was worshiping Baal, makes a decree that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the one true living God. Through the witness of Daniel, because of his faith. And I'm here to tell you today, when you take a stand and say, no matter what, I will praise the Lord. No matter what's going on in my life, I will not allow anything or anyone to stand in my way. I refuse to bow down to anything or anyone else. It doesn't matter what they say they're going to do to me. It doesn't matter the threats that the enemy brings against me. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I refuse to bow down. I will only praise the King, King Jesus. You can do what you want to me. You can do